Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Holderness Family Podcast. I am Penn Holderness.
You sound like you should be on NPR, and I love it. I'm Kim Holderness.
Yeah. It's that time of year when I've got bronchitis, and it makes my voice a lot lower.
Do you have bronchitis?
It's like a chronic thing that happens. It's like a crud. I wake up every morning, and it's like I'll step away from the microphone. It's like...
Okay.
And then something comes out that's either clear or sometimes a little brown.
Okay, well, we call this a Penn-zageration, so
no.
You don't have bronchitis, but you just don't feel great.
Anybody got time for that, yeah.
Yeah, you just don't feel great. I feel you. There's 16 people in our kids' school that are out with the flu. Just 16.
I know.
Only 16, the nurse emailed the entire school and said, only 16 people home with the flu. Cool. Anyway, welcome to our brains because, yeah, hi.
We're about to bring in our favorite guest, Christopher Edmondson, who is our
marriage coach.
He's our marriage coach. And beforehand, I just want to tell a story because today we're going to talk about dealing with change, specifically embracing the fact that your loved one may not be the same person that you fell in love with 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And so today,
this day, you're listening to this now.
Kim and I have to go. We have to get out of the house sometimes. Especially when our kids are sick. We don't want to hang out with them the whole time. We were like, there's a place that has an indoor pool. We're going to go swimming.
You can do some laps, yeah. You know, get in shape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was lightning. So we couldn't go in the pool. And so we had 15 minutes to kill in the car.
Because, there was thunder. So you had to like wait 30 minutes between.
For an indoor pool?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, not a Penn-zageration.
Not a Penn-zageration.
Okay. You're right to ask that question because I did too. Anyway.
I think they were like teenagers that were lifeguards and they were really lazy because I was like, I have not heard lightning or have not seen. Anyway.
So as we're getting out to go to the pool, my sexy, beautiful, amazing wife crop dusts my car.
What?
I've been eating a lot of greens.
Okay.
Yes. And so.
So natural, biological.
Yeah. Yeah. So gotcha. Things were brewing.
Then we went in and they said we couldn't swim. Because there was lightning. So we're like, oh, we'll just go back and wait in the car. Get back in the car. Lingering. On top of that. So then, like, I didn't even realize what was going on. But we're like, what should we do? And I was like, you know what? I need to clip my toenails.
So he starts clipping his toenails in the car. And so we have, like, this lingering fart. And he's clipping his toenails. And we're just, I'm like, oh, my gosh. We've turned into those people that, like, crop dust each other and clip toenails. And like, where did this talk about some sexy
and
time?
What were we talking about less than 24 hours ago in the bathroom?
I don't know.
The pimples on my butt. And how they were brought on by excessive
of the many podcasts that we've done. This is right now the best and the worst.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so what are the pimples on your butt from?
Excessive airplane sittingness.
Oh yeah, he's like, been a lot of airplanes lately.
So it's just the blood flows down there. And
I saw his butt. I'm like, oh, you have a cute butt. He's like, I got a lot of pimples on there because I'm like, we've become so familiar with each other, but yeah, our relationship has changed. Is that what you're getting to? I'm trying to bring it home here.
I'm just giving examples of the kinds of things that I think we probably would have hidden from each other or walked on eggshells around that led to probably more more passion back in the day. And the fact that like people change. And I mean, that's kind of a fun on the surface thing. But I want to bring in Christopher, not just talk about that, but just, you know, entire marriages and how you grow together and how you change together. So go fix us now.
Here we, and we're going to fix you in approximately 2.5 minutes. So start the clock. No, I mean, the idea of a younger Kim falling in love with the guy who's clipping his nails on the airplane.
Yeah. Toenails. Well, not that, in a car, because I would divorce somebody who clipped their nails on an airplane.
So, no, that is even in the car, like on a date.
Yes.
You just probably wouldn't have gone out with that guy again. And yet familiarity, we have children together. We've shared space together, time. We've aired our laundry together, you know, in the context of our marriage, or for you guys, sometimes in the context of podcasts. We've shared so much that suddenly there's a permission to share body odors and nail clippings, perhaps that weren't able to be shared a long time ago. So something has changed. Familiarity has led to a comfort level that allows us to be really honest about what In these two examples, our bodily needs are. And that happens in every marriage. Over time, familiarity itself is what changes us.
And I actually find that attractive. Like, I mean, there are certain things I don't want to see. Like, I don't need to, like, see you go to the bathroom. Like, we're not a door open, go to the bathroom kind of marriage. But I kind of love how familiar we are. I think a bigger issue is, and I'm going to call this out on myself, is that I used to be fun. I used to go out to late dinners. I used to be really a lot more spontaneous. I remember being, like, I have really clear memories of being fun. I don't know that I'm that fun anymore. And I sometimes feel a little bad about that.
Can I ask you this? Do you feel like it's our fault that you're not fun because we've put life on you?
I think my family, like, there's so much stuff that I get, like, a little bit, like, I'm the only one that knows how to load the dishwasher, apparently. And I'm, like, I'm the only one that, like, picks stuff up. And I'm, like, yeah, like there is a little bit of, like, fun killer. Yeah.
Fun killer Kim.
Fun killer Kim.
Never thought we'd say that about you when you were 23 years old.
I know. I was so fun, you guys.
You were fun.
I had a whole section of my closet.
Well, I've seen pictures of how fun you were. There are pictures.
Yeah. There's a whole section of my closet when I was in my 20s that was just going out tops that I got from, like, those stores that, like, the max price is, like, $8, you know, and they're made really poorly and really poor
just
working conditions.
Dental floss as a shoulder strap.
Yes, but it was, like,
right?
Nothing. Yeah. But I lived in South Florida, so it was, like, nothing but just, like, going out shirts,
tube tops.
And right now, if I went to, yes, I, of course I owned a tube top, but like if I went to my closet now, I'd be like flannel, oversized sweater, flannel,
turtleneck.
Ironic, yeah. Target t-shirt.
So, yes.
So let's take this from two sides. One, the positive spin, right, to the first piece of what we talked about is that love breeds trust. And when I trust you, I can trust you enough to be honest about my toenails are gross. We're trying to get into a pool. I don't want other people to look at them. And I'm just going to cut them in front of you.
Yeah. Right?
I need to do this now because I trust that you're not going to judge me too harshly because you recognize my need to take care of this part of my body right now. Mm-hmm. And there's something very sweet and special about that. You're right. There should be things that you share with your spouse, your person, that you don't share with anybody else. I have never clipped my toenails, I think, in front of any person the last 25 years, except my wife. And I don't even clip them in front of her. Like, I will go into the bathroom and generally close the door. She's aware that I'm doing them, but I wouldn't do that at work or anywhere else, only in that space of trust that I have in my marriage. In terms of the second piece, which is, do we change as we live from our 20s when we have an entire closet of going out tops to our 30s when maybe in your case you were having your children and doing a lot of baby stuff into our 40s, which is where you guys are now? Absolutely. Not only do our bodies change, I'm not sure that
the going out
pimples
tops
on the butt is endemic to everybody, but going out tops don't work when you're a 40-ish mom of two.
Yeah.
As well. So yes, life forces changes upon us, whether we want them or not. That happens especially as we get elderly, which is 30 years down the road for you two. The changes will be forced and they come even more quickly. But even just the natural progression of every marriage, changes come. The trick isn't to keep your partner from changing. Like, trying to talk you into tube top going out top Kim, that's not going to work. That's not where you are in life. But rather, can we adapt together? Can we continue to change together so that in this new season, we are reinventing what it means to be in love, have romance, have physical attraction, share time, and trust each other even more tomorrow?
I love two things in there. I love love breeds trust, and I love keep reinventing. Those are two great tips. I'm doing the cliff notes in my head.
I think something that was pretty impactful is the trust factor, because I'm not normally, like, I think with people on the street, I will trust you and give you endless grace, but I don't know that I don't include a lot of people in my circle of trust. There are very few people that I will show my, that I trust enough to show who I don't know if that's an introvert thing or if that's just a life experience and stuff I've been through thing.
Yeah.
But I don't trust a lot of people with like the stuff, like the ugly, like with the toenail clippings. I don't trust a lot of people with that. So, and even Penn, it took me a long time to trust him enough to say, we were getting married. We got married. We did the thing. We got until I was in my, like well into my 30s to say, you know, I don't like big groups of people. Like, I wish our wedding had been smaller. It took me a long time to even get there to trust him enough to say, I don't like this.
If any members of my family are listening, they're going, well, that's just not going to happen.
Foghorn Leghorn came.
Christopher knows the Foghorn Leghorn side.
That, and I've known Penn's family a long time, and there are like a bajillion of them. Like,
there's so many.
If you're listening and you think you have a big family, Penn's family here in North Carolina, they will rival any group of people.
Them all. And
they're wonderful,
like,
but there's a lot of them.
They're dreamy. Like, I'm married into a good group of people for sure.
Well, I'm glad that you said that. I am, because we've been honest about this, and you were honest with me during the wedding planning, and our love trumped all. It was easy. You know, we love each other. Who cares? It's the two of us, and we're going to be fine. But do you think for us, the biggest change that we have to embrace is, do you think it's that? Do you think it's the introvert and extrovert just pulling each other apart like more and more as time goes on?
I don't think we're pulling apart.
I think we're fine, honey. Like I'm not.
No, but like, so we look different than when we met.
Yeah, but you look great. Like, you still look. That's the no. next note. Next, I, there's, say this thank is you. Not relatable.
Thank you.
No,
you always say thank you. Say thank you.
So thank you. Thank you, honey. And I know you think that, which is like what I love most about you. But let me tell you, I was in. Is there a worse dressing room, ladies? Are you listening? Than the Lululemon dressing room. I was treating myself to a fancy pair of leggings, which, for the record, Penn owns more Lululemon than I do. I didn't spend money. I'm workout gear. I'm like, I'm going to sweat in it. Who cares? I was going to treat myself to a pair of Lululemon leggings. I looked at my rear end in that, like, I'm going to get some comments on this. You have to back me up, ladies. There is no worse... The lighting in there, I challenge you, pen holderness, go in. Have you been into that dressing room?
I don't get invited into women's dressing rooms.
No, it's not a women's dressing room.
Oh, it's like, a unisex one. You know what I have?
I looked and I was like, for the love of all things holy, is my butt A, down to the middle of my thighs? I think it is. And I had I've had cellulite since, like, my mother wrote about it in my baby book. I've had cellulite since I was like 18 months old. But I had it like down to my kneecaps according to this dressing room. And I was like, oh my gosh, and my husband thinks I'm attractive. Oh, that's so sweet.
This is why I won the lottery. My wife, who everyone knows what she looks like, doesn't think she's good looking. Hysterical.
I don't. I am like a body confident person. Like, normally I'm like,
but that mirror
was telling me some truths that I did not want
to
hear.
I would like to hear comments. Can I admit something kind of embarrassing to you?
What?
I don't look at mirrors when I, because it's this weird thing, because it's backwards for me. So for
what? What do you mean?
Shows my hair in like not the real way. So like I would need to like take a picture of me and then look at it and let it flip. But what I normally do is just look down. Like, that's how
you don't look in mirrors.
Not really. I just don't. They weird me out because they're backwards. they're not what you look like. They're the other way around.
That's beyond my capacity to help you with. I just need you to know that. I can't. Like, I can't help you with that.
My brain broke a little bit.
I go into dressing rooms and I look down. So it's like, that's how I can tell.
So how do you know? Why do you, okay? So you just go. You do the thing that we all should do with, which is go by how the clothes feel on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, just I know that I'm being lied to by this mirror. It's not what I look like.
So, well, I'm a bigger person, right? And there are skinny mirrors in the world. I trust no mirrors in any dressing room because they're all skinny mirrors. That being said, I do look in the mirror, and it, and the backwards words on my backwards hair does not wig me out because I'm not crazy.
No, sorry, I know. Guys. Even like there are.
I'm getting this off the rails too.
Anyway,
well, let's do this. Let's go back. Let's pull it back just a little bit and say this. That the problem would be, imagine if you, Penn, were giving her signals very subtly that you didn't think she was really beautiful anymore, that you were upset that age and time and having two children had changed some things in her body, in her ability to stay up late, in the going out, you know, Kim that you knew when you guys were in New York, right? Imagine if you got angry about the fact that she shared with you that she was more introverted than you, which you probably inherently knew, but her being able to say that to you, hey, I would like this to do smaller groups. I need my alone time. That is an act of trust. That's precisely when we want to trust our person and say, hey, I know we're changing. I think I'm changing. And they come back to us with, but I like the old you, and the signal is consistently, I'm not happy with the changes. That's when people really can hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
There are some changes that we can control. There are some that we do not control. And not all changes in the marriage over time are equal.
Okay. Wait, so are we, this is a good question. Are there things that I say or that I do, whether I mean to or not, that are projecting?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you've got one.
What?
So like, and it's not your fault. I love you. Because I know that you love me. I know that you think I'm pretty. But like you, when you look into my eyes and we're close together now, why are you laughing? Because you know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
You don't look into my eyes anymore.
I do.
You look into my eyebrows.
So I love you.
I know I have awful eyebrows.
No,
I do. I'm sorry.
But he is turning in. What? Well, no, and I do. You know what it is? I love to watch pimple popping videos, and I love to watch ingrown hair like videos. And so sometimes I see his eyebrows, and I just want to pluck them.
So you're like checking out for potential ingrown hairs,
or just like wild.
She wants to pluck them.
I want to pluck his eyebrows because he has these like wild. He has like a few eyebrow hairs that are like long, like a crazy senator, like an old, like out of touch senator. I want to just pluck them. And so sometimes I'm a little distracted by the eyebrow hairs. And so I'm sorry.
It's no longer, it's I want to pluck you. It used to be.
Stop it. This is a family show.
Sorry, I'll stop. And that's like a tiny little superficial thing. But you've actually seen me get upset when you look at me and you're.
Yeah,
And it's not because it's, but here's the thing. I don't think it's because of you and the signal you're sending. I think it's just because I have some insecurities about all of the hair being moved from the front of my head to my eyebrows, nose, and back and ears. Like it's being redistributed to parts of my body where I don't want them to be.
Well, you just wish you didn't have any at all.
See, I'd be fine.
But so imagine if that really made her angry. The thing that you can't control, we can't control our genetics. I can control my diet. I can control how much sleep I get every night. I can control all sorts of choices that I have. But I really can't control where my hair grows. Now, I can pluck it. I can shave it. I can maybe be more responsible with some of the ways that I take care of my grooming as the man in this sort of hypothetical scenario, or in the real scenario in y'all's case. But, you know, the issue is not so much to acknowledge that it's changed, that Penn's eyebrows are much more interesting to me now as they grow.
You're trying not to look at them.
I mean, his eyebrows are, they are a little bit hypnotic as I'm sitting here looking.
Yes, they're good.
But they're more interesting to me now because they're just so weird or so unusual now because they weren't that way when we were younger. Because we do, right? We do change over time. Always remember this about as your partner changes or as your person changes, whether it's a change that comes with aging or say it's a change in their diet, like, you know, or a change in their exercise routine or even a positive change, that just because it's happening to one person, the other person is going going to have their own reaction to it. The way that people in the counseling world talk about this with couples is that the experience of that change is always subjective. There's no objective reality to that change as far as we experience it emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, or physically. You know, the change comes, whatever it may be, some that we choose and some that we don't, and we each experience that, if you will, in our own way. So your person may not react to your change very well. And the trick and the task of marriage is to figure out how to work that out between the two of you.
And let's be clear, like, we're joking about eyebrow hair here. But in reality, we do have people close to us who have experienced, you know, they had very happy marriages. And then the, you know, one spouse took a nosedive into addiction. You know, there's huge changes that you can't negotiate. Those sort of things.
There are some non-negotiable changes.
Right.
Addiction. You're married to that person who won't do anything about their depression. Get therapy, talk to their doctor, get a psychiatrist or psychologist. There's some changes that we cannot accept. The person that you married because of stress suddenly becomes abusive in how they talk to you. You're not, as we've said before, a road cone or a speed bump.
And let's back up to that, because I also, we do have people in our lives that did, obviously, I don't think anybody gets married and be like, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce. I think people are very in love when they get married. But there is that, there is a shift. I did not marry this person. This person is they're mean to me when they talk to me. That sort of thing, if you don't get counseling, it's there's a deep need to, that's not a shift that you should accept, right?
No, you shouldn't accept that. And again, even in that case, it's subjective, because the person who suddenly has become mean, they may not be aware of it. It may feel natural to them, but your spouse, your partner there, is not experiencing that as natural at all anymore. It's experienced as demeaning. And that's that back to the thing. You have to speak up for yourself. You have to ask for what you want. You have to say, why did this change happen? I don't like all the things that have come as a result of this change. You change job and stress goes up, and suddenly the fights are more intense.
Yeah. And so, because right now I feel more comfortable with Penn now, obviously, than even when we got married. So that means that I'm going to fart in front.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Of him. But sometimes when people feel more comfortable, they're going to, is it their true personality that they become, they're mean to their spouse? They're verbally abusive. I mean, I've seen this in friends, relationships.
I'm going to jump out and say I've been mean to you before.
Yes.
And I got checked on it, and I'm working on it. I think I still we're still mean to each other in some way or fashion. But when I moved from local news to working with you, it was this crazy, the local news environment. I think we're hearing about it more and more. It was very abrasive and down, it wasn't down talking, but there was a culture of communication that was very terse and disrespectful that I did for 20 years. And then I went to work for my wife, and she checked me on it, and at first I didn't understand it. And then it took me some time to she did a great
job. That's actually a beautiful example that over time your speech patterns for work changed. And that can be true for lots of people, local news or not. But over time, your speech patterns at work changed and you brought those speech patterns into your home.
Yeah, because that's not how I talked. Well, and
so,
that.
So he may have talked like that because I never worked with him, but he may have talked like that at work.
But I never talked like that at
home. He never talked like that in our marriage. And then when we worked together, he did that. And then I did the really mature thing and I recorded him one time without him knowing.
Oh.
And I played it back super mature.
That sometimes can't, that can it's, work. It sometimes can really backfire, but it sounds like it worked.
It was super embarrassing, but it worked. I needed to hear it. Right. And I mean, thanks for being patient with me. And also thanks Penn for, you know, changing your ways.
Listeners need to know he just patted himself on the back.
I missed that cause I couldn't take my eyes off his eyebrows.
Have you guys ever seen Gladiator? You know, there's one of those senators. Like if I didn't cut my eyebrows, I would look like that senator. Like it would actually, it would have, I could jump off a building and it would safely carry me to the ground.
No.
My eyebrows would.
You handsome.
I mean, I think we get into trouble. So let's go back to that scenario because I think it's actually pretty telling. So Penn picks up some speech patterns that seem normal because that was the work environment, gets to a new work environment and continues those speech patterns. And his coworker, which in this case is his wife here, says, I don't like that. And even demonstrates very clearly what she doesn't like. What would have happened in that case if Penn would have what we call stonewalled and said, I'm not having this conversation. That's how I talk. Deal with it. And that's where marriage gets into real trouble. Is the purpose of us growing older together so that one of us always gets our own way and one of us dominates all the energy and decisions in our house? Or is the purpose that we grow together? And one of the things that kills that growth together and that changing together over time is when one person, for whatever reason, stonewalls. I like the way you used to dress. If you don't dress that way anymore, I'm not going to love you as much. Yeah. Right? And people make ultimatums like that. And ultimatums and stonewalling are almost always signs of a lot of unhealthy patterns in a relationship.
And so can you, I do give this as an example to friends who, for whatever reason, people think we have a, I'm kidding, we do have a great marriage. And so I know we're now we're holding hands. So I do get asked a lot of advice, which is really funny, but I do give the example of people can change. You changed, Penn, and for the better.
I had to.
And that our communication, but I think part of it is how self-aware you were.
How do you make people more self-aware?
How do you
is that where
make
you're going?
People? Yeah. So if you've made this, if you changed and it's not ideal, if you changed and it's not by, I mean, obviously we're all like our items shift during flight, which is my statement for, I had two kids. I'm in my 40s. I try to keep it tight. We've been to the Lululemon dressing room. My rear end is halfway down the back of my thighs. I'm fine with it because you know what? I'm like a healthy woman and I still can run pretty fast. So I'm proud of that. So there's that end. But like if we're changing and it's not ideal and we can control it, like how do we hold the mirror up to that person that says like, you've changed. This isn't you're for whatever reason, verbally abusive.
So marriage therapy 101, like it would depend upon each situation. But marriage therapy 101, marriage counseling, marriage care 101 is that old mantra. And, you know, the three of us have talked about this privately before. It's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. Like the words there have to be very careful because the person there that's doing something that's really hurtful or saying things that are hurtful or saying things that are just bringing negativity or just missing the point. Like they may be embarrassed that they're missing the point. I mean, in the example of you recording Penn, which worked for the two of you, and even though it doesn't always work, it worked that time. It was, I sound like that. That's embarrassing. I need to change. So calling that to his attention in that case turned out to be really helpful for the two of you.
It was not mature at all, but it worked.
It worked.
In our case, I don't know that it would work in other.
Because some people, there's this instant, I can't believe you recorded me. And
yes.
And it goes south really quick. But, and I don't want to.
We're agreed. Don't record.
Well, I have to say, it would not have worked on if he recorded me. I would have taken the phone. I would have done.
I can see you doing this.
I would have been really combative and terrible. But I recorded him, and I played it back. I'm like, I just want to hear what you. I just want you to hear.
She went all in.
I'm like, I just want you to hear
high risk, high reward, right?
The tone in which you just talked to me. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he was very self-aware, and it was, and it, the gamble paid off, but it could have been, it could have been bad. Yeah. So,
well, I mean,
not zero out of 10 recommend.
So don't record them. But I think there's like a way to do it without recording them.
There is. And it's choosing really careful language. And I always go back to, and, you know, people have heard me say this so many times, you have to get specific. Right, you just have to get specific.
Ken hates this.
Yeah,
he hates it.
No, no, because Kim, when Kim is doing something over and over and over again, I forget it because I'm awesome and I forget and I move on.
I'm
like,
awesome.
Yeah, because I'm forgiving and I'm like, okay, that happens. That sucks. I'm gonna move on. And then it happened again. I'm just gonna wipe it from my memory. Okay, I got. You know what? You have been acting this way all day, and she's like, give me specific examples.
Well, and even though you don't like it. I always think that's a fair question. Like, if your person has said to you,
should
something,
I have like a notebook and just be like writing it?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to tell you how to do this. Okay. But it's always fair for the person to say, I want to hear you and I want to be present for you, but I'm a little confused. Can you give me a specific moment when you felt this way? Because I can do something with specific. We can talk about something that's real. Okay. Not something that I'm not sure you aren't just imagining. Like, give me something specific.
I like that. But so what if I give her an example and she goes, yeah, that's one. What else?
This happened recently. Can you tell?
That's the fastest I've ever seen pin move behind the microphone ever to get to that point.
He said, you're doing this all the time. I'm like, tell me when, list it. And he came up with one. I'm like, that's one. That's not all the time. Yeah.
Well, so, but that's the problem, right? What we're speaking in there is in these huge exaggerations.
I should not pen-zaggerate.
No, that's right.
That's the problem. I don't need to. You know, I can just give one example
That's back to it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So imagine she would have possibly, and I wasn't there, but possibly been less defensive and less quick to shoot back if you'd have said, you know, you do this from time to time, and what's going on? Instead of all the time, we speak. I mean, that's what we do when we try to win arguments. We speak in these huge absolutes all the time, every time. This happens constantly.
Yes, all the time.
I'm guilty of that.
Everybody that's ever been married or had a brother or sister or had a human relationship is guilty of that. But when you're trying to get the person to be aware of a change or to change something in themselves or to listen to you talk about a change that's happening to you and accept it, speaking in those absolutes, in those huge ways, probably isn't the best way to get them to sit down and actually talk to you and listen.
And I know we've kind of meandered through this, but I would say it's more impactful for me to hear this is how it makes me feel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like this, I'm feeling this way and it goes back to like, I'm feeling, and you can't negotiate with how somebody's feeling.
Right. Well, let's say that the two of you were two warring spouses, which I think you have times when you're, you know, in war mode and you're really fighting.
Mm-hmm.
That's not when the three of us are together, that's not what happens. Mm-hmm. But if you were in my office and we were doing a marriage care, marriage coaching thing, and you were warring spouses, that is exactly the language that we would make you use, that I would make you use. Penn saying, Kim, when you blank, it makes me feel like, just very clear. Or I feel like blank, Penn, when you forget to pick up the kids from school when you say you're going to do it. Like whatever the presenting issue is, we really try to give people to be really specific about what it is that is causing the feeling.
Can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. When you taped me. And when we talked about this, it was, I don't think that it was the video recording that made me have this kind of like watershed moment. It was when you said, I feel like I'm a fly on the wall that you're just trying to swat away.
Mm.
And that was powerful. And it meant a lot to me. And that like, I know you think that recording me was the thing, but that's why you shouldn't record people. But but you did say that, and I will always remember that because that is, you're right, that's non-negotiable. Like, what can you say about that? And that's like, God, just don't, like,
if you really care about the other person, and the goal again is that our growth together, not I'm going to win this argument, or I'm going to force this change upon him or her at all cost. If your goal is really to grow together, that language is really the only kind of language that works, however a couple gets to it.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to argue to somebody that says, it hurts me when you blank.
Right.
And we need to talk about that.
And you can't change, and you can't, my pet peeve is when people say, like, oh, you shouldn't feel stressed, you shouldn't feel nervous, you shouldn't feel mad, you shouldn't feel offended, you shouldn't feel, like, if I hear the should, yes, I hate should. Should. Well, like, by the way, should. Like, should is my least favorite word.
This goes back to, again, this is counseling 101 or therapy 101, but feelings are not objective. They're subjective.
Yeah.
The causes of your feelings can be really objective. We don't have enough money. There's too much stress at work, right? But the way we feel about things is never objective. It's always subjective. And
you can't change that.
You can't change that. And so a marriage that is healthier, that wants to be healthy, when you're talking about changes natural or forced upon you, a job loss, you know, an oops pregnancy, even that can cause stress in some families, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, when we're talking about changes, like one person is likely to feel one thing, and you have to make space for the other person to feel something different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why marriage is both beautiful, because negotiating that out gives us a chance to learn and grow together. And it's also really complicated and hard, because it can take these two different feelings about a similar experience a long time to get on the same page or to move forward through it.
I've learned a lot today.
Have you?
I feel like we should do Cliff Notes.
Do it, honey.
Okay, so love breeds trust.
Love breeds trust.
Evolve together. Was it evolve together? What was it? Something together.
You're failing the Cliff Notes.
I think, well.
Well, I mean, evolve together is correct. Or reinvent together.
Reinvent. Mm-hmm. Reinvent together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much in the taping, but the spirit of it is good. Right? That's good. I think I love, like, I feel is non-negotiable. And that's the best way to talk to each other.
I would say it's to listeners to remember that feelings are subjective, causes for feelings are objective. And that's a fancy way of saying that feelings are personal. We can't dictate how somebody feels, even though the cause may be something that is even outside of us or is actually really real or tangible in the world.
Yeah.
And you just go to Facebook and you see that right now.
Because
you see a lot of angry people
there's
on Facebook.
So many just lashing
just don't
out.
Go.
Yes.
Don't go.
There's one more I want to give before we end.
Yeah, yeah,
and
go.
That is just everybody remember this, that there are very few people in this world who can deal with surprise changes very well. And if you were planning on throwing a surprise change on your person, your spouse, after however many years of marriage, you may have 5, 10, 15, 20. Honey, I quit my job today without ever talking to you about it, and we're moving to Atlanta, right? That's probably not going to go well for most couples, and most people don't handle that very well. So surprise changes, being fired, having a wreck, that's not your fault. Those are surprises too. Those are stressful as well.
Yeah.
But
illnesses.
Surprise changes and expecting your person to be thrilled that you've done this without talking to them, that really usually doesn't go well.
And just, I would imagine in those circumstances, you give yourself and your spouse or your partner a lot of grace, because I'm just thinking of illnesses and so many families like that we know who have gone through those surprises.
Yeah.
I guess
went to the doctor for a checkup and suddenly you've got something chronic that you're going to deal with the rest of your life.
And those sort of things, we just we call those we're in wartime right now, so we're not going to read too much into stuff. Yeah, those sort of changes. Oof.
So this, by the way, this podcast is coming out around Valentine's Day. And so that's one of the reasons that we feel like this is a good thing to talk about. And we hope that you can listen to this with your loved one, whatever it is, and look each other in the eyes and learn a few things, and kind of maybe it'll reignite some of that spark. But also, it doesn't have to be like it was with that initial spark. It could be you could evolve and reinvent each other. And Kim and I think we have reinvented to a situation where we put out a Valentine's Day video recently that shows kind of what happens when it's Valentine's time. Would you like to give us a lead in for this, Kim?
This song.
By the way, I love you very much.
I love you too. I will say though, I actually love you. Like, I love you in a very different way than when we first met. but not but like in a better way.
Not
like
necessarily
not,
less.
But the
not,
same.
But not any less.
Not any less. Right. More. 100 times more. Like I can look at you and like. It's I love you more with your eyebrows and your nose hair.
Well, as our marriage has grown and you know, like I think you're the hottest thing on the planet.
But there are pairs like flannel pants I wear every night.
That, well, that's one thing.
And
that
I would
changed.
Say like it's not a family friendly way that Penn says it, but like there's a way that we call it. Well, we'll call it the libido killer. Is like I'll put those on and he's like, okay, I guess we're done. We're not that. We're nothing's happening tonight. Okay,
this,
cool.
This
cool,
song, cool, cool. Christopher, you're gonna love this because this song is all about those nonverbal cues that lead to.
Are we playing this for Christopher?
Yeah, why not?
Live
right?
Reaction.
Yeah, okay. Go for it. Here we go. He's already laughing.
When does this come out?
I don't know.
It's close to midnight. It's finally quiet in our home. The kids are sleeping, and mom and dad are actually alone. You close the door, excited cause she's changing in the closet. Yeah. Not anymore, cause she comes out with baggy flannel pants. You miss your chance. Libido killer, not tonight. Already put on skin cream and it's slimy and it's bright. Libido killer, thought we might. We'll try another night. Libido killer, killer, good night.
Come on. That's really funny.
That's really funny.
She hears the door slam and wonders if it's time to have some fun. Yeah. She hears the toilet and realizes it's not number one. Now ain't the time to cuddle up and snuggle close together. Yeah. But now is the time to hand him a big bottle of Febreze and watch some TV. Libido killer, killer night. He just blew up your bathroom. It is not a pretty sight. Libido killer, not tonight. You'll try another night. Libido killer, killer.
But wait, there's more. I really think this dance break is too long.
The darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour close at hand. She puts on fleece pants and a baggy hoodie. Her way of saying there will be no nookie. His Invisalign makes a slurping sound, which means that they are shutting it down. She plays a video on crown molding. He lets out a fart he's been holding.
The
glasses have very thick lenses. He's turned on a football thriller, for no mere mortal can overcome the evil libido killer.
Okay.
Libido killer.
Yeah.
That was that.
In spite of all of that, I'm still like super attracted to you. But you know, we do like walk around with Invisalign and flannel pants.
Well, anyway,
face
I hope
masks.
You enjoyed our song. I hope you enjoy the change that your partner goes through. Hopefully, it's a good one, like eyebrow hair.
Thanks for listening. Make sure and subscribe. Wait, try. You usually say that. Do it.
You do it. You're cute.
Make sure and subscribe, and also leave a review because that helps the algorithm. I don't know. Thanks, Christopher.
Always great to be here.
Coming up 2 weeks from now, our worst fights and how to get over them. Or if you're just binging, like, hit the button. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.